The Shulchan Aruch at the beginning of Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, Siman Tav Kuf Pei Aleph, quotes the famous minig to say Slichas. There's an old minig to say Slichas sometime before Rosh Hashanah. The Sfardim actually begin from the beginning of Chodesh Elul. They start Slichas all the way from the beginning of Chodesh Elul, and they say the whole month until after Yom Kippur. Ashkenazim are not machmer as much. They begin a few days before Rosh Hashanah, and they continue with the Slichas until Yom Kippur. Why did they start just a few days, and which few days are we talking about? So as the Shulchan Aruch explains, it's really starting from the beginning of the week before Rosh Hashanah, meaning the Sunday before, right? Or actually, as we do, the Matzei Shabbos before. And the reason why the Ashkenazim start just a few days before Rosh Hashanah, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah there in Siman Tav Kuf Pei Aleph in the beginning, he gives different reasons. The most popular reason is the Pasuk, when it talks about the Karbonos of Rosh Hashanah, it uses a Lashon Vasisem Ola, that you should make an Ola. So first glance, it just means you should bring a Karbon Ola. But the Mefarshim explain that since it's a strange language, it's really only used regarding Rosh Hashanah, not regarding the other Yom Kippur. What it really means to say that each and every individual should make himself into an Ola. He should prepare himself, he should purify himself, and he should become a Karbon. So we know that the halacha is that a karban has to be checked for 4 days before we bring that animal as a karban in the Beis HaMikdash. Any animal that's brought on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash has to be checked out. It's totally bikur, as we call it. Bikur means to check out from any mum, from any blemish. So too, if each and every Jew is going to check himself out before Rosh Hashanah to make sure that he can bring himself as a karban before Hashem, so he needs 4 days. Those are the 4 days of slichas to check himself out. The only thing is, it depends when Rosh Hashanah falls out. If Rosh Hashanah falls out like it does this year on Shabbos and Sunday, so there's a full week before. So we start with the beginning of the week. We don't want to start in the middle of the week, so we start with the Sunday, with the Matzah Shabbos. If Rosh Hashanah falls out, let's say, on Thursday, which it can fall out, so then we'll only have 4 days, because 4 days is sufficient. But if Rosh Hashanah will fall out, let's say, on Monday, we know that Rosh Hashanah can't fall out on Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. It's the phrase that they have in the Pesukim is Lo Adu Rosh. Adu, Aleph, Dalet, and Vav. So the first day of Rosh Hashanah can't fall out either on Sunday, or Wednesday, or Friday. But if Rosh Hashanah fell out on Monday, then we're not going to have the full 4 days from the beginning of the week. So we start the previous week. That's the source of the difference between the years. Some years we have 4 days of Slicha, some days we have a little bit more, some days we have more than a week even. We have more than a week before our Rosh Hashanah, and then during Aseres Metshuva, we always have the standard Slichos. And it's all a function of whether you have the 4 days before Rosh Hashanah in that particular week. When do we say Slichos? When's the proper time to say Slichos during the day? So the Shulchan Aruch there in the beginning of Tav Kuf Pei Aleph says that the minig is to say Slichos Ba'ashmoris. What does that mean? In the Ashmura. We know that the night is divided into three ashmuros, three watches. The malachim, so to speak, have three different watches. And the night is divided into three parts. So on a perfect night, 6 o'clock in the evening to 6 o'clock in the morning, you have three watches. 6 to 10, 10 to 2, 2 to 6. So the Shulchan Aruch says, the proper time to say slichas is actually not in the morning, but rather in the last watch of the evening. Why should that be the case? So it's explained that this is an Eis Ratzon. This is a time of goodwill. It's a time of rachamim. Hashem, so to speak, has more rachamim, more mercy for the world. So of course we want the mercy. We want a Kadosh Baruch Hu's mercy. So we recite the slichos during a time of ratzon, during a time of rachamim. Since this is the time of rachamim, that's the best time to say slichos. That's in fact the time that the Shulchan Aruch says that you're supposed to say slichos. Sorry? The last ashmura of the night. The last third of the night. That means in a perfect night from 2 to 6 in the morning. Now, we're not talking about a perfect night. If Nate's this morning was when? Does anyone know when Nate's was? Nate's was somewhere around 6 o'clock, a little bit before 6 o'clock maybe. So whenever Nate's is, Alos HaShachar is before that. Alos HaShachar means dawn. Hanetz HaChara means sunrise. And before Alos HaShachar, before dawn, there's a period called the last Ashmurah. So the Shulchan Aruch says that's the best time to say Slichos. And there are many who are medaktik to do this. Certainly people who daven Vasikin, who daven the earliest possible time that they can daven, they get up to Shmona Esrei when it's Haritz Achama, so they can do it easily. Everything is timed appropriately. They just have to get up a little bit earlier. for us, if we're going to get up for the 7:30 minyan or for the 8:30 minyan, so to say slichas before Elos HaShachar and then to go back to sleep, it doesn't really make much sense. So it's a little bit harder for those who are davening shachris later. But for those who daven early, which was the minhag of many communities in Europe, they would say slichas before Elos HaShachar and then they would daven. They would daven shachris after that. Some anohig, not to daven slichos during the last Hashemur, but rather to daven it after chatzos. They still daven slichos at night, but the second half of the night. Why the second half of the night? Because we know there's another minhag to say tikkun chatzos after chatzos. Why it's called tikkun chatzos? Right? Tikkun chatzos is a special tefillah that we say for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So that minhag was instituted after chatzos. Why after chatzos? What's so special about after chatzos? Apparently, even though we assume that night is a zman of din, and we try to avoid reciting certain tefillos, certain supplications during Maariv. For instance, we don't recite Tachnun at night, at night time. We recite Tachnun for Mincha, but not for Maariv. Some places, even if they say Tehillim after the davening, not only after the Silent Shema Esrei, but after Chazaras Hashatz, Aleinu, but for Maariv, some places will not recite the Tehillim because it's an extra tchina, it's an extra supplication. And we assume that nighttime is the zman of din, so it's appropriate. We do daven at night, but the extra supplications we don't add at nighttime. So the same should hold true for slichos. Slichos is an additional tefillah, so why should we say slichos at night? The answer is, even though the latter part of the evening, the last Ashmura, is really the only time of Ratzon at night, but after Chatzos, the sense of din, the sense of judgment in the world, we don't fully understand these Kabbalistic concepts, but as the Balei Kabbalah explained, the sense of judgment is a little bit assuaged, it's a little bit muted, and because of that, that's the appropriate time for Tikkun Chatzos. And similarly, some claim that's the appropriate time for Slichos, since the din, the sense of Mishpah, the sense of din and judgment in the world is muted a little bit after Chatzos, it's a little bit of an Eis Ratzon. So if someone can't recite Slichos at the best time, right before dawn, in the last part of the evening, at least you should recite Slichos after Chatzos. This is another popular minhag. The minhag in this yeshiva is to recite Slichos after Chatzos. It's much harder to get people to get up before Elos HaShachar, so they recite after Chatzos. It's probably around 12:45 or so. You'll hear the times, they'll be posted, and that's when many people in this yeshiva say Slichos. The one exception to the rule, by the way, is that before I get there, many have the minhag to say Slichos by then, not in the last Ashmura, not after Chatzos, but rather after Hanitzachama, before Tefillah, before regular Tefillah Shabbos. If a person will daven at the 7:30 minyan, so some have a minhag to say Slichos half an hour before that. Depends which time we're talking about. If it's during Aseret Yemei Teshuva, the slichos is a little bit longer, so they apportion time, 40 minutes, half an hour, whatever. The one exception to this rule is that many have the minhag, even if they say slichos normally during the day, but the first night of slichos, they'll get up, they'll stay up late, they'll go to sleep and then they'll wake up, but they'll say slichos after chatzos. At least they can say slichos in the last Ashmura also, but they'll say slichos after chatzos. Why? Because as part of that slicha, Pizmon, the part of the slichos that we say together as a tzibur, that begins b'motzoi menucha kidam nucha tchila. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'motzoi menucha Motzei Shabbos, we came to you early. So because we're talking about Motzei Shabbos, Motzoi menucha and kidam nucha, we came early, so we don't want to wait until Sunday morning, and that's not really Motzei Shabbos anymore. So that's why many of the minig that at least the first night of slichos, they'll say slichos after chatzos. But all the other night, all the other days of slichos during Aseret Yemei Teshuva and before Rosh Hashanah, they just say slichos by day. And they claim the reason why they want to say slichos by day is because it would be too difficult. People are going to stay up late. Who stays up until after chatzos? They weren't thinking of a dormitory community. Who stays up after chatzos? 12:45. Most people never heard of 12:45 before they came to college. So it's difficult. In many yeshivas, they feel like it'll detract from the Talmud Torah that they'll do during the day if they stay up late for slichos. Some have pointed out that this issue was thought of by the poskim. This is not a new 21st century America issue. And truth be told, some of the poskim, right on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, they quote, the Shari Tshuva quotes those who claim maybe this is not a time of Talmud Torah. Maybe one is supposed to be focused on tefillah more at this time. So if you have to take a nap for an hour during the day and learn a little bit less, maybe it's better. This is a special time of tefillah for the Yom Adin, Yom Kippur, and Rosh Hashanah. This is a special time for tefillah, so maybe one should hold back a little bit in his Talmud Torah. It's better to engage in tefillah. That is what some of the poskim say. The minhag is not that way. The minhag is to assume that if people are going to be so overturned by the schedule of slichos, it's better to say slichos by day. Besides, in many places, it's hard to get a minyan at night, hard to get a minyan after chatzos. So therefore, they claim it's better to say slichos by day. I mean, clearly, if a person is going to be up at that time anyway in the dormitory, the question is whether he'll do work this time or do work that time. It's better to say slichos after chatzos, because that you can get very easily in the dormitories. If you'll be up at 12:45 or 1 o'clock, you normally go to sleep at 1:30. I don't know, to be up for morning Seder, I would imagine you have to go to sleep a little bit earlier, but if you don't need as much sleep and you'll be up at that time anyway, it's probably best to say slichos after chatzos. The Shaar HaTshuva does quote from the Birkei Yosef. He says there are some places where they say slichos at night. What does that mean, at night? Before chatzos. It's done, say it at night. And he says to this minute, yishtaka hadover. It should be forgotten, it should be blotted out. That's not a proper minute. That's what the Shaar HaTshuva says. It quotes from the Birkei Yosef. And even though there are some places that say it at night, and they claim that it's an Eis Tzorech, it's hard for people to stay up late, but the Birkei Yosef says it's really an improper minute. Why? Because of what we said, that the nighttime is really a Zman of Din, it's a time of judgment in the world, and we don't want to incur judgment. If we're going to daven, but our tefillah is not going to be a good tefillah, so then rather than bringing upon ourselves the rachamim, rachamim shamayim, which we so need, we'll bring the chas v'shalom, we'll bring din upon ourselves, we'll bring the opposite. So it's better not to say slichos rather than to say it at night. That's what the post can claim. Yes?
Yeah, what was the question that some people say slichos at night before chasuk?
There is a Shaar HaTshuva, which is right on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. Shaar HaTshuva quotes in the Birkei Yosef. Rav Moshe Feinstein has in a tshuva in Chelek Arachayim and Chelek Beis, he was asked whether this can be done, whether a tzibur can say slichos before chatzos. And he answers, he says, really, it shouldn't be done, but as a haras shah, if it's hard to get people together, this year you're going to do it early, fine, but Rav Moshe is clearly assuming that in the future you're going to get the tzibur to say it at the right time. Strange, Rav Moshe's haras shah became a minhag, that there are some places where they actually say slichos at night. I was once giving a shiur in the New York metropolitan area during this time of the year, and after the shiur, it was a night shiur, the daven Maariv, and after the Maariv, someone got up and said, Ashrei. So I was thinking to myself, Ashrei, Mincha? Like the first reaction was the davening Mincha after Maariv, but then I realized immediately they're saying slichos immediately after Maariv. And there were like 100 people there. So apparently they felt that they're all working, and it would be very difficult for them to get up earlier in the morning. So this is the best time to say slichos. If not, they're not going to say it all. So, you know, it's hard to disagree with that. I don't know. We don't really understand these Kabbalistic principles in general. Rabbi Schechter is very adamant. He says, look, the whole concept of slichos is a Kabbalistic idea. The Balei Kabbalah were the ones who instituted slichos, and they wrote the slichos. So you got to play by the rules of the Balei Kabbalah. They tell us that the Eis Ratzon is the Efter Chatzos, so how can we say Slichos, which the Balei Kabbalah wrote, they authored the Slichos, and they told us the time to say it, and we're not going to adhere to what the Balei Kabbalah want us to do. So saying it in the morning is not adhering to what the Balei Kabbalah want either, but at least it's a time of Ratzon, it's a time of Rachamim. But to say it at night, it's certainly preferable not to do so. Certainly preferable not to do so. There are some places that do, but Rav Moshe Feinstein would probably say that for a haras shah, if you're a rav in a new community, a fledgling community, and you want to strengthen people, as a haras shah, maybe it might be mutter to do it for a year or so, but it's probably better to avoid if at all possible. Yes?
I just want to know, you said that people are stressing,
say, people who are what?
Stressing, say, people need to use a sales mandate for shoppers.
Right.
Does that only apply if they're going to be in the Torah, but also
what does that mean to be nirshul in work? For parnasa, parnasa is also a tzara. So if a person has to go to work and he's going to fall asleep at his desk, or he's not going to be able to work appropriately, that's also a tzara. So presumably for that individual, it would be mutter to say slichos by day as well. The Mishnah Berurah, there in Tavkuf Payalef, Sifkot and Dala, the Mishnah Berurah points out that the essence, we know the main part of Slichus is the Yugim Omidah Shal Rachamim, Hashem Hashem. A Yochid is allowed to say Slichus. He just has to leave out the Yugim Omidah Shal Rachamim. He can't say the Yugim Omidahs by themselves. If he wants to say it as part of the Pasuk, the Pasuk in Parshas Kisisis, if he wants to say it as part of the Pasuk, he can do so, but he can't say the Yud Gim Amidah Sharachim as we say it, and we end off Vinake, and then we just stop there. Why? Because the Yud Gim Amidah Sharachim are a special matana HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the Tzibur, to Klal Yisrael as a Tzibur. So, She'enon Chozos Reikam, this Tefillah is Enon Chozos Reikam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to answer if the Tzibur calls out to him with the Yud Gim Amidah, so it's inappropriate for a Yachid to say that. So, if a Yachid finds himself alone, he doesn't have a tzibur, so he can say slichos, avadi, he should say slichos, but the Yugim Amidah Shel Rachamim, if he wants to say it as a pasuk, he can do so. But in the Kel Melech Yoshev, he should leave out the phrase, Kel Horeis Alanu Lomar Shlosh Esrei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you taught us to say the Yugim Amidah. That implies that he's invoking the bris of Yugim Amidah, so that he can't do, so he should leave out that particular phrase. But the rest of slichos he can say normally. The Pizmon he can say. The Pizmon is just slich. It's just a slicha. So that he can say, but he shouldn't say Kael Horeis Alonu Lomar Shlosh Esrei, and he shouldn't say the Yud Gim Amidah Shel Rachamim outside the context of a pasuk. He must say the whole pasuk, so then he can do so. Yes.
The 13 principles are said in slichos.
Yes, we say them a lot. After each and every slicha, we'll say the Yud Gim, we'll say Kael Melech Yoshev, and right, then we'll invoke the Yud Gim Amidah Shel Rachamim. So that shouldn't be done in the mode that the Tzibur does it, but if the Yochid wants to say it as a Pasuk, then he can do so. We start Slichos, of course, with Ashrei, and that's because we want to say a Kaddish. We want to begin the Slichos not with Ashrei, that's not the goal. The goal is to say a Kaddish. To begin the Slichos with a Kaddish. Because Kaddish is also a very powerful tefillah. To be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to be Mekaddishim in this world is a very important principle. Because you can't say Kaddish just plain, you have to say Kaddish on Divrei Torah. So we say Ashrei, since Ashrei is a very important mizmar, so we say Divrei Torah before we say Kaddish. What often happens is that you don't have a minion to say Ashrei and to recite the Kaddish. You're scrounging around for a minion, maybe not before the 8:30 minion, but before the 7:30 minion, when they're saying Slichos at 7 o'clock, sometimes it's hard to scrounge around for the minion. The first 2 days of Slichos, the third day, but during Aseres Mei Tshuva, it can be a little taxing. So the question is, what can we do? Can we start? Can we say Ashrei? Maybe we'll say Ashrei and wait for the Tzibur. Sometimes there is no Tzibur. You've said the Ashrei, there's no Tzibur. So they want to start the Slichas. Because if they don't start the Slichas, then the Shachas is going to be late. So the truth is, you can start Slichas without the Kaddish. But what you should do is, when you get the Tzibur together, then you should say, the Poskim say, I think the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, you should say 3 psukim together. Maybe 3 psukim of Ashrei. Or if the Slichas themselves have psukim, the beginning, the first Slicha is basically a collection of different psukim from Tanakh. So you can say 3 psukim together and then say Kaddish on those 3 psukim. There's no obligation to wait for the tzibur. If it's really late, you should continue, but at least have 3 psukim to say Kaddish on. Because again, you're not supposed to say Kaddish on nothing, but apparently 3 psukim is a chativa achas, it's a unit, just like the minimum aliyah is 3 psukim. So you see the 3 psukim is a unit. So too, the minimum number of psukim that we recite Kaddish on is 3 psukim. So that's what you should do, and say Kaddish after that. After Slichos, we recite Tachanun. But shouldn't that depend on when we say Slichos? The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Tachanun writes that there's no Tachanun at night. That's why we don't say Tachanun after Maariv, but during Maariv. So just 1 second. If the best time to say Slichos is the last part of the night, or after Chatzos, so maybe we shouldn't say Tachanun then. We should only say Tachanun if we recite Slichos in the morning. So the Mishnah Berurah is not so sure about this. He quotes a machlokas in the poskim. Some have a minig that after Chatzos is already the beginning of the Eis Rachamim of nighttime, as we mentioned. The Midas Hadin is already assuaged a little bit. So at that time you can say Tachna. You can't say Tachna before Chatzos, but after Chatzos it's already okay. Others say no. Others say you really shouldn't say Tachna at night. So if you recite Slichos, you could say the Mizmar, Vayomer David El God, the Mizmar of Tachna you can say, but Nefilas Apayim, the fall on the arm, which is the essence of what Tachanun is about, that you shouldn't do. You shouldn't fall on the arm, because that's the real form of Tachanun that you shouldn't do at night, but the Mizmar of Tachanun that you can say. I think the minig is just to say Tachanun. As long as you say Slichos in the right time, not in the earlier part of the night. You'll find the places that say Slichos in the earlier part of the night, I'm not so sure that they know you're not supposed to fall Tachanun during that time. I think everyone would say you shouldn't fall Tachanun. You could say the Mizmar, but certainly not full tefilas apayim at that time. But at least after chatzos, I think the minig is to be mekil and to assume that you can full time. Erev Rosh Hashanah is the only exception to the rule. The Shulchan Aruch says that on Erev Rosh Hashanah we don't full tachlan after Shabbos. It's like any other Erev Yom Tov, so therefore we don't full tachlan. But the Shulchan Aruch says, even though we don't full tachlan Erev Rosh Hashanah after Shabbos, but for Slichos we do full tachlan. Why? Because it's before daybreak. It's before dawn. So if you say it bashmores, why shouldn't you full tachlan just like on every other day? That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Mishnah Berurah continues and says that even if the slichos are completed after dawn, which often happens because on Erev Rosh Hashanah we know that the slichos are very long, so the slichos often on Erev Rosh Hashanah are completed after Alos HaShachar. The Mishnah Berurah says, since Rov Pe'amim, most times they're completed before Alos HaShachar, one can recite Tachnun Erev Rosh Hashanah even after Alos HaShachar on slichos. On Shachar, during Shachar, you shouldn't recite Tachlan and Erev Hashanah, but on Slichas you can, because most of the time it's finished before. Strange idea. Who cares about most of the time? It should be a function of when you finish now. But that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, that the determining factor is when does it get finished most of the time. Rabbi Willig once said that maybe as long as you start the Slichas before Alos HaShachar, even if every year it happens that you finish after Alos HaShachar, maybe you can still recite Tachlan. And he says that's what happens in his shul. To finish the Slichas Erev Rosh Hashanah before Alos HaShachar, to aim to do that, is really a tircha on the tzibur. It takes about an hour and a half to say the Slichas Erev Rosh Hashanah. So in many communities, they start early. But the nature of the Zmanei Hayom of this time of the year is that if you start early, let's say you want to schedule Shachar, the normal time is a 7 o'clock minyan, let's say. So the only way that you're going to get to daven Shachar at 7 o'clock is if you start Slichas at 5:30, 5:45, it's just not Shachar for you. 5:30 is pretty early. Is it before Alos? It's certainly before Nates. It might be before Alos as well. So it might come out that you'll start Slichas Erev Rosh Hashanah every year before Alos HaShachar, but you'll never end it before Alos, because that's the nature of your scheduling. That's the nature of your scheduling constraints. Rabbi Willig apparently felt that that's okay. As long as you start the slichos beforehand, then you can say tachan. He apparently assumes that just like in other areas of halacha, we follow the beginning, that the haskalah is koveya. The beginning determines what the halacha should be. In this case as well, if you begin before Erev Rosh Hashanah, before daybreak on Erev Rosh Hashanah, one can say tachan at the end of the slichos. The Ramah quotes an interesting minig, that the Shliach Tzibur for Slichos should daven all of the other Tefilos Hayom as the Shliach Tzibur. He daven Shachris and Mincha as well. And in fact, some poskim claim that he has a kedima, he has precedence over every other person, an Ovel, a Yartzai, the person who daven Slichos, he should daven Shachris as well for the Yomut, as a Shliach Tzibur. Why is this the case? Just because he daven Slichos, will we give him all the other Tefilos? He daven Slichos, and then we're going to ask him to daven mincha for the Yomad 7 hours later? What kind of a notion is this? So they quote from the Magen Avraham, who explains that we know there's a principle, hamaschil b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar. Someone who starts a mitzvah, we tell them, complete the mitzvah. You shouldn't just start the mitzvah, complete the mitzvah. The Magen Avraham says that's the basis of this principle, of this halacha, that the person who recites slichos as a shliach tzibur, he led the tzibur for slichos, hamaskol mitzvah, om lo gemar. We say, finish the other tefillos too. Let you be the shliach tzibur for the other tefillos as well. It's a strange Magen Avraham, strange concept. Is this really the concept of hamaskol mitzvah, om lo gemar? Is this the same mitzvah? Slichos is the same as shachris, the same as mincha? Aren't these two different mitzvahs, three different mitzvahs? Would you say that the person who daven shachris for the yomad on Shabbos, we should give him musaf too? No, we would never do that. We want to spread it around. One Shliach Tzibur davens Shachris for the Yomad on Shabbos, and someone else will daven Musaf, someone else davens Mincha. We don't ask the same person. In fact, if you go to a shul which asks the same person, you say, come on, there are no Baal Tefillah here. So why suddenly over here does the Magen Avraham explain that when it comes to the Slichos, the person who davens Slichos should really daven the other Tefillos as well? Hamaskal mitzvah, Omrim lo gemar. So other Achronim, they quote Rav Shlomo Levilna, one of the big Gaonim, in his Tshuvas Binyan Shlomo. He suggests it's not because of a maskul mitzvah omer lo gemar, but rather we want someone to be willing to daven slichos for the yomer. It's not as choshev as a tefillah shachas. A shliach tzibur would be more, would be happier to daven for the yom than shachas. Slichas, it's not such a choshev a tefillah. That's what he explains. So to get someone to want to daven shachas, we give him the other tefillahs as well. It's interesting, because we live in a society where to give someone the kibbutz, that was slichas. Oh, that's a choshev a kibbutz. Slichas, that's a special tefillah. Shachas, someone else can do that. I don't have to daven slichas. You see that the poskim didn't look at it like that. They felt that tefillah shachris, that's a choshev tefillah. In fact, some claim that shachris is even more significant than musaf. Musaf is an additional tefillah. It's a musaf. It's a tosefes. Shachris, that's the main tefillah. No. In many shuls, the Baal shachris, yeah, okay, he comes on time. Yeah, and he davens a nice shachris. But musaf, that's the tefillah I want to daven. Comes out that musaf is not the most important tefillah. Shachris is more important, and slichas is not the most important tefillah. Slichas is just according, right? People think slichas is so important because it's a special tefillah, but the reality is it's not as important. So the Binyan Shlomo explains that the reason why we give the Baal slichos the other tefillos, and we tell him to daven for the yomid, is because we want him to want to daven slichos. If we don't give him the other tefillos, he'll say, "Ah, tomorrow I'm not going to daven slichos. Get someone else to do it." He's not going to want to daven slichos because he feels embarrassed. That's all they asked him to do. So some poskim say already that bisman hazeh, this whole time doesn't really apply because there are many people who can daven slichos. It's not so necessary to ask the same person daven slichos. So the reason of the binyan shlomo shouldn't really apply. So what's the real answer? How can we understand this Magen Avraham who assumes that the reason why we give the shliach tzibur for slichos, the opportunity and the privilege of davening shachris as a shliach tzibur at musaf or mincha as a shliach tzibur because maska b'mitzvah omer bo gemar. Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested once that maybe the Magen Avraham is telling us the fundamental yisod, the fundamental principle about slichos. And that is that there really is no connection between shachris and musaf, between musaf and mincha. It's two different mitzvahs. But there is a very strong relationship between slichos and all the other tefillos of the day. The Rav suggested that slichos is really a hakdama. It's an introduction to the other tefillos hayom. It's not just another tefillah. It's not just a tosefes tefillah. It's a hakdama. It's an introduction to the other tefillos. So because it's an introduction, it makes sense that the person who began the mitzvah should complete it. Meaning, during the time when we're saying slichos, we look at all the tefillos hayom as being one unit. Slichos is an introduction to the other tefillos. So if the Baal slichos davens shachris for the yomid as well, he's continuing the mitzvah. The mitzvah of slichos is continued in the shachris. The mitzvah of slichos is continued in mincha, because all the other tefillos of the day are the regular tefillos that come after the hakadama, after the introduction of slichos. So that's what the Magen Avraham means. Maskev a mitzvah over lo gemar. We tell the person who davened slichos to complete his mitzvah. How does he complete the mitzvah? Well, if slichos was only the introduction to the other tefillos, so he's completing this mitzvah by davening shachris. That's just the hemshech, the continuation from slichos. And mincha is also the continuation from slichos. So that's why it's appropriate for the same shliach tzibur to daven the other tefillos of the day. What comes out from this comment of the Rav is a very important principle, and that is slichos. It's not only just an additional tefillah, but it's only a hakdama, it's only an introduction to the other tefillahs. You sometimes find people come late to slichos, and everyone is putting on tefillin for shachris. They've all finished the slichos, but he's still saying some of the slichos, and then he's going to be late for shachris. So that doesn't make much sense. If slichos is just an introduction for shachris, of course it's appropriate that if the tzibur is davening too quickly, one should leave out some of the slichos and say them later in the day. But it doesn't make any sense to lose out on the shachris because you want to daven slichos appropriately. Slichos is just the tosefes, it's just an addition. Moreover, it's just an introduction to the tefillah. So you don't spend so much time on the introduction and lose the tefillah itself. So it's important to keep in mind what slichos is all about so that we don't lose sight of the forest and focus only on the trees. We'll focus so much on the slichos and lose out on the tefillah itself, which the slichas are just coming to embellish and to serve as an introduction for. Yes.
So there was also an introduction.
That's correct.
That's
a good ha'ara, but since Pesukah de Zimra is really more a part of the general tefillah, it's probably appropriate to engage in that hakdama, in that shevach. It's a different kind of tefillah. It's an introduction to the Shemona Esrei because it's shevach. Slichos is not necessarily shevach, it's more tchina, it's more supplication. So I think Pesukah de Zimmer is probably a better introduction to tefillah than Slichos. Slichos is also good, but it's a tosefes. So if someone is running out of time, it's probably better to start davening the regular tefillah. Even though the minig of the Ashkenazim is not to say Slichos from the beginning of Chodesh Elul, but the Ramah does quote a minig that Ashkenazim have from the beginning of Elul, and that of course is what? Blow shofar. That's an old minig from the Midrashim. What's the reason for the blowing shofar? So the popular reason that's given is it's because it's ma'orah, the tzibur, it awakens the tzibur for tshuva. They call it from Sukkim, that can it be a person hears a lion crying out in the night and he shouldn't be scared, he hears a call of the shofar and he's not scared. The shofar has this ability to jaw people and to make them shake and to get scared, which is what we should be. That's how we should feel during this time of tshuva. Erev Rosh Hashanah is the only exception. When it comes to Erev Rosh Hashanah, we stop blowing shofar. We don't blow shofar Erev Rosh Hashanah. Why not? So everyone knows the famous reason given is Kedei La'arbeid Es HaSatan. We want to confuse the Satan. Confuse the Satan. The Satan's not going to realize exactly what's going on, so he won't be mekatreg, he won't serve as a prosecutor, and he won't say bad things against us. That's the time I'll be kabbalah, which we don't fully understand. How exactly are we confusing the Satan? He's done this every... We do this every year, Erev Rosh Hashanah. So what's different? There's another reason that the Mepharshim give, and that is to serve as a demarcation, as a separation between the Tkios Dereshus and the Tkios Shalchova. To serve as a separation between the blowing of the shofar that's really just a minig, there's no obligation to blow shofar during Elul, and the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah itself, which is obviously a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah deraisa. So this year it'll be a mitzvah derabbanan because we're not going to blow shofar the first day. But it's a mitzvah. So to separate between the tkios, the rishus, and the tkios shochova, the minute developed that on Erev Rosh Hashanah, we don't blow. That's the separation. And we find a similar concept. We know many people have a minig that on Erev Pesach, they don't eat matzah. Some have a minig even before Erev Pesach. Purim, some say Chodesh Nisan, they don't eat matzah. They only eat matzah on the Leil of the Seder, on the night of the Seder. But the Iker Minig, whether your Minig is from Purim or from the beginning of Chodesh Nisan, the Iker Minig is Erev Pesach, not to have matzah. Matzah that you can be yotze, the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah on the night of the Seder. Why? So the Mepharshim explain again, it's the same idea. It's really to distinguish between the matzah shel Chova and the matzah shel Rishus. We can eat matzah the whole year round. On the night of the Seder, we have to eat matzah. So to show that it's a mitzvah, I'm doing it the night of the Seder, not because I enjoy eating crackers, but because I'm eating matzah, l'shem mitzvah. To show that it's a matzah, l'shem mitzvah, so that's why for one day, we don't eat matzah. So that when we come to the Seder, it's clear. Some have omitted for a longer period of time, but at least Erev Pesach, we have that minute. Erev Rosh Hashanah is no different in terms of Tkiyah Shofar. The poskim talk about what happens if a Baal Tokeah wants to practice. Blow the shofar Erev Rosh Hashanah or not. So the conclusion of the poskim is that if he closes the door and people can't hear, only he can hear, so maybe there's room to be made. But it's an issue, because really you should not be blowing Erev Rosh Hashanah. One should try to distinguish between the Tkiyah Shalchov and the Tkiyah Shalvashos. But if he has to blow, he wants to practice, so then as long as he closes the door, it's okay. Erev Rosh Hashanah is noteworthy for another reason as well. Another minig on Erev Rosh Hashanah that many are familiar with. And that is the minig to go to the mikveh. This the Ramah quotes also in Tavkuf Hayalef and Siv Dalef. Minig is that on Erev Rosh Hashanah, people go to the mikveh to be metar themselves from Keri before Rosh Hashanah. This is a very old minig. The Rosh of Yuma quotes it from the Gaonim. The Gaonim there are actually talking about Erev Yom Kippur, but the Ramah says that on Erev Rosh Hashanah, the same minig does apply. What's the idea? We don't go to the mikveh every day, so why on Erev Hashanah somehow I'm in Hagim Chank? So there are two very interesting reasons that I give it to this minig. One is, the pasuk in Parashat Shmini says, "Benivlasam lo sigo," that we're not supposed to touch the nevela, the dead carcass of an animal. And Chazal asked, how could this be true? We know Kohanim Amuzer and Tumah and Tumas Meis. Kohanim Amuzer and Tumas Meis, but if Yisraelim are not enjoined, if they're not prohibited from becoming Tameh even to a dead person, so why should they be commanded not to become Tameh to a Nevela? They'll become Tameh, fine, but why does it matter? Why is there an obligation for Yisrael not to touch a Nevela, a Nivlas Behemah? There's no obligation for a Yisrael not to touch a mace, not to touch a person who's dead. So why is there an obligation for him not to touch an avela? So Chazal, Rashi there in Parashat Shmini quotes from Chazal that from here we see a principle of chayav adam matar esatzvo bo regel. There's an obligation for a person to be matar himself before a regel, before a yomtiv. That even a Yisrael who during the year is not muzar, he's not obligated or enjoined from becoming tamei, but before the shalosh regalim, he's obligated to be matar himself. So claim the Gaonim, this halacha explains why before Rosh Hashanah we also have to go to the mikvah. Quite an interesting idea that the Gaonim are suggesting here. The Gaonim are saying the Chayav Adam Latar Satsma Baregel not only applies to the Shalosh Regalim, it even applies to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as well. And it even applies Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim. Because they're talking Bizman Aseh. The Rosh was one of the Rishonim. The Gaonim were a little bit before the Rishonim, but they certainly were way after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So the Gaonim are telling us a tremendous Chiddush according to this approach. They're saying that this special notion that every Yisrael has to be matar himself before a regel applies not only to the Shalosh Regalim but to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as well, and it even applies to Zman She'en Beis HaMikdash Kayim. Many disagree. The Rosh himself disagrees. The Rosh says, Me'ikar Adin, you really don't have to go to the Mikveh of Rosh Hashanah because Bizman HaZeh we're all Tumei Emesim. We all have Tumas Meis. How does a person become Tar from Tumas Meis? How? By going to the Mikveh? Paraduma. He needs the hazah, the sprinkling of the paraduma. So you can go to the mikveh from today until tomorrow. Is that people don't go to the mikveh from today until tomorrow, but they go 3 times, 7 times, 7, 70. I don't know. People go up and down. Sometimes you go to the mikveh, you see people are going up and down. I don't know how many times they're going. But you can go to the mikveh from today until tomorrow. If there are different minhagim, I'm not making light of it. The person has to understand what they're doing. You can't just go and assume. If this other person is going 15 times, I should go also. He has his own kabbalas, his own minhagim. First, has to go once. That's the minute. If you want to go 3 times, make sure that you that it's kedasu kedin. Okay, but you don't have to stay in the mikveh too long. There's always a line. Okay, so the Rosh says since we're tmei and meis and we don't have the hazav of the paraduma, so going to the mikveh is not going to help us anyway. So you're not going to get anything by going to the mikveh. So there really should be no obligation. Not only before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur says the Rosh, but before the Shalosh Regalim as well. What's the difference? We're with Tmei Meis anyway. Yeah. The Shagas Aryeh, in a celebrated piece, disagrees with the Gaonim for a different reason. Not because we're Tmei Meis. He says, I don't understand why the Gaonim expanded this halacha so far. He says, "Vidin the chayav adam matar asasmo baregel." First of all, that applies to the shalosh regalim. And secondly, what's the purpose of that halacha to be tahar before a yomtiv? Beautiful idea to be tahar before a yomtiv, but that's not the halacha, says the Shagas Aryeh. The halacha is that a person has to be tahar to bring karbonis on the yomtiv. So, if you're talking about the shalosh regalim, that there's an obligation to bring karbonis, you have to come up to the Beis HaMikdash to be all the regel and to bring karbonos. There's special karbonos to bring on every yomtiv, an olas re'iyah, and a shalmei chagi. We have to bring karbanos shlamim and karbanos olos. Every person has this obligation. I understand, says the Shagas Aryeh. You have to bring the tahara satzma before the regel because you have to bring karbanos. But Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there are no karbanos that a yachid brings. So what's he matar himself for? There's no reason to be matar himself. He has to be matar himself before the shalosh regalim because he has to bring the karbanos. But on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there are no karbanos for a yachid to bring. The tzibur brings karbanos. The kohanim are tahor, but the tzibur doesn't have any individual karbanos to bring. So why should they have to be matar themselves? And he says, moreover, even bezman hamikdash on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you shouldn't have to be matar yourself. But bezman hazeh, even for the shalosh regalim, you shouldn't have to be matar yourself because you're not going to bring karbanos anyway. There's no Beis HaMikdash. If the whole purpose to be Matar Satzma Boregel is to enable you to bring karbanos, so it's a function of Beis HaMikdash, and it's a function of the yomtiv that you'll bring karbanos, individual karbanos. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Hanag Yom Tov, that you bring individual karbanos for anyway. And Bizman is that we have no Beis HaMikdash. So there's no reason, says the Shagas Aryeh, to go to the mikveh. So what's the reason that we go to, that some do go to the mikveh of Rosh Hashanah? So there's another reason it's given. You could say that we disagree with the Rosh and the Shagas Aryeh, we follow the Gaonim, but there's another reason it's given. And that is, we know that there's a concept called Tevilas Ezra. The Hasidim are knowing to go to the mikveh each and every day. What's that based on? So the Gemara in Berachos explains that Ezra HaSofer was misakin that a Balkeri is usher in Talmud Torah. He's not allowed to learn unless he goes to the mikvah. Balkeri is usher in Talmud Torah. So he has to go to the mikvah, so he should be a Balkeri. And after Ezra, the Bezdin in the door after him made a further takana that a Balkeri is not allowed to daven unless he goes to the mikvah. Those were the two takanas. But then the Gemara Bracha says that a later Tana was Mevatel Takonas Ezra. This Takana that Balkeri can't learn Torah, the later Bezdin, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, was Mevatel this Takana, and he quoted a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Alokol Devori Ka'esh Nu'um Hashem, Devori Torah compared to Esh. Esh is not Mekabel Tumah. Esh, fire, is not Mekabel Tumah. So they said, Devori Torah not Mekabel Tumah either. So what that a Balkeri is Tumah? He can still learn. So there's a whole discussion in the Rishonim. Was the second takana nisbatel Ezra? Ezra's takana that a Balkeri can't learn Torah without going to the mikvah. So that the Gemara says was batel. That was annulled. But the question is, the second takana that the next Bezdin made, that a Balkeri can't daven without going to the mikvah, was that annulled? Was that takana annulled as well? Most Rishonim assume that takana was also annulled. They go together. That second Bezdin simply expanded on takana Ezra. Once the first takana was nisbatel, the second takana was canceled as well. There are those who are machmer, though. Some Rishonim, the Riff quote, some Rishonim and Gaonim who are machmer, who assume that only one takana was nisbatel. The takana that a Balkeri can't learn Torah without going to the mikvah. That became batel. That was canceled. But the takana that a Balkeri can't daven without going to the mikvah, that wasn't canceled. That still applies. That's what the Hasidim. The Hasidim follow those opinions, the chumrah of those opinions, because many of the Balei Kabbalah assumed like that, that part of the takana, that takana of the later Bezdin, after Ezra, was never batel. So therefore, every day before davening, a person has to go to the mikvah. Or if he's a Balkeri, he has to go to the mikvah. If not, he really technically doesn't, but the minhag is to go every day. So some suggest that that's the basis of our minhag. The minhag Erev Rosh Hashanah and Erev Yom Kippur, to go to the mikvah, is based on the fact that before Hashanah, before Yom Kippur, we want to be entire ourselves, because these are Yom Yimei Tefillah. These are special days of Tefillah. So even if we won't be machmir for this shita that the takon of the later Bezdin after Ezra was batel, we normally won't be machmir for this shita that assumes that the takon of the later Bezdin after Ezra was not batel. We assume all the whole takana was batel. A Balkeri is mutter in Talmud Torah, and he's mutter in Tefillah. We assume that there's no reason to go to the mikvah every day. But Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, we go to the mikvah to be machmer for that particular shita, because Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are special days of Tefillah. So therefore, we're machmer for that particular shita to go to the mikvah before Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur, so that the Tefillah is on somewhat of a higher level. So these are the two reasons that are given for why we go to the mikvah before Rosh Hashanah. One of the interesting halachas on Rosh Hashanah is this minig, some people call it an old wives' tale, that one is not supposed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. Not supposed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. It's not an old wives' tale, it's a Yerushalmi. The question is how far people take it. That could be an old wives' tale. The Darkei Moshe, the comments of the Ramah on the tour, the Ramah quotes from the Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah that someone who sleeps on Rosh Hashanah is going to have a bad masal during the year. So it got everyone scared. So people are very careful not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. Why is he going to have a bad masal? What's so bad? So the commentators on the tour in explaining this Darkei Moshe, they say it's not Kabbalah, it's really a Svara. Basically what it means is, look, it's a Yom Adin. This is a day when a person is standing in judgment. So if he sleeps on the Yom Adin, what does that show? Totally. I'm happy. I have no worries. It shows a certain attitude. It shows that he doesn't take the Yom Adin seriously. It shows a sense of laziness. So that's why he's going to have a bad mazel. It's not like, you know, it's some hocus pocus. But it's real. That it's going to be a kitrug. It'll be some kind of prosecuting argument that the Satan is going to be able to prosecute against us. Because our actions will speak louder than words. We might daven and chuckle and cry, etc. But our actions demonstrate that we're really lazy. We don't take the Yom HaDin seriously. But there are those who point out that it's not like this idea that one is not supposed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah applies in as expansive a way as we think. First of all, they point out, just off the bat, the Bach quotes that the Maharam in Rutenberg was no way to sleep on Rosh Hashanah, just like any other Yom Tov. Sleeping Sheina B'Shabbos Tainug, it's a Tainug to sleep on Shabbos, we know. Everyone knows that, right? It's part of Smiris. And people say on Yom Tov it's also a Tainug, Rosh Hashanah is also a Yom Tov, so there's a mitzvah of Oneg on Rosh Hashanah. Is always supposed to enjoy the Yom Tov? Yes, a person is supposed to be fearful of the din, but that doesn't mean a person is not supposed to have Oneg on the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah as well. In fact, we'll talk in a few moments. There are some posts who claim there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. A person has to eat appropriately. One is not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, according to some Rishonim. So the Maharam Rutenberg felt a person should sleep on Rosh Hashanah as well. What's the difference between Rosh Hashanah and any other Yom Tov? Mishnah Berurah quotes that the Arizal claimed that at least after Chatzos one is allowed to sleep, because the din is not as strong. The Malach Sharachim has already been awakened. The Tfilos have already been davened. Right? Shacharis is already over, probably. So it's a different level of the day. So to sleep in the afternoon, that's okay. And this is what they say. Many great Gaonim, the Stipler Gaon, for instance, he was knowing in the afternoon on Rosh Hashanah to sleep. I don't know if this was only when he was older or when he was younger, but they say a lot of great Gaonim and Tzadikim did sleep in the afternoon Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah Berurah does point out that someone who's Yoshev Botel, someone who is not doing anything, he just doesn't want to sleep because he knows he can't sleep, but what's he going to do? Is he going to learn? Is he going to say Tehillim? There are different minhagim. Some have a minhag on Rosh Hashanah to say Tehillim. He's not going to say Tehillim. He's not going to learn. He's just going to shoot the breeze. He'll talk to his friend or read the newspaper. Yoshev Botel ki Yoshev Tanki. Mishnah Berurah says if he's going to sleep, so that's like not doing anything. He might as well... if he's going to sit and not do anything, that's like sleeping. He might as well sleep, because if he sleeps, he'll get more energy, he'll be able to daven mincha better. So just to be Yoshev Batel, just to sit and not do anything, that's inappropriate. He doesn't accomplish anything by doing that. So I think if you put two and two together, what emerges is that if a person really feels tired in the afternoon, Rosh Hashanah, he's gone through a long davening, he still has davening ahead of him, certainly the first day of Rosh Hashanah, where he's still tired, if he's working before Rosh Hashanah, whatever it is. So I think to sleep in the afternoon on Rosh Hashanah is not the worst thing. I think there is room to say that it's mutter to sleep in the afternoon on Rosh Hashanah, and not to be so taken by this particular minute, because there are those who, first of all, did sleep on Rosh Hashanah, and some claim after Chatzos you certainly can sleep. And just to be Yoshev Domeh, just to sit without doing anything, to sit idly, that's inappropriate anyway. And you should know, if you think about it for a moment, it makes sense that we should be able to sleep on Rosh Hashanah in order to make our tefillos better. Why? Because if the problem is to sleep on the day of Rosh Hashanah, so do we find people getting up before dawn on Rosh Hashanah so that they won't sleep on Rosh Hashanah? Netzach Cham on Rosh Hashanah is probably 6:30, 6:40, or maybe a little bit earlier. Most of us are going to be sleeping at 6:30. You get up, even if you have an early davening, when's the davening? 7 o'clock, 7:30? People are not going to be sleeping at 6:45 or 7 o'clock. If you're going to be concerned with sleeping on Rosh Hashanah in the afternoon, be concerned with sleeping on Rosh Hashanah in the morning. There shouldn't be any difference. Must be the reason why we're sleeping late is because we want to sleep to make ourselves strong for the tefillah. So that's the reason why it's mutter to sleep in the morning, it should be mutter to sleep in the afternoon as well. So I'm not so taken by this chumrah. Especially if it's going to detract from one's tefillah. So a person, a wise man, has eyes in his head, meaning he sees the future, and he has to know himself. If he's a person who can engage in learning and engage in tefillah during the free time in the afternoon on Rosh Hashanah, mato, but if he can't, then it's certainly mutter for him to sleep. We know that the davening, the tefillos on Rosh Hashanah are very long. I'd like to close with two very interesting halachos that emerge from this reality. That because the davening is long, there are certain halachos that are changed just a little bit. The first is exactly when should a bris milah be if it falls out on Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't happen every year, but it does happen. The Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tov Kuf Pei Dalet and Siv Dalet says that a bris milah on Rosh Hashanah should be perform between the Kriyas HaTorah and the Tkiyah Shofar. Between the Kriyas HaTorah and the Tkiyah Shofar. Why? The reason that's given is because the Pasuk says, Zachar Bris Avram v'Akedas Yitzchak. So Akedas Yitzchak is connected to Bris Avram. the shofar, since we use the ram's horn, shofar shalayel, reminds HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need reminded, but it reminds HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Akedas Yitzchak. So we do the Bris Avram before the Akedas Yitzchak, before the shofar, which reminds HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Akedas Yitzchak. That's the reason that's given in post. So we do the bris before the Tkiyah Shofar. It's not a halacha in doing it between the Kriyas HaTorah and the Tkiyah Shofar. It's a halacha in doing it before the Tkiyah Shofar. But we don't want to. We're not going to do it before Tfilah Shachris. So we daven Shachris. We do the Kriyas HaTorah, which is also linked to the Shachris. I guess it gives people the opportunity to come to shul as well. Some of the women can come, and then we do the bris milah then. This is the approach that the Beis Yosef quotes from certain other posts. The Prima Gadim quotes from the Sefer Levush Malchus. He quotes a different reason. Not because of Zechar Bis Avram V'Akedas Yitzchak, but rather, since we know the Tfilos are so long on Rosh Hashanah, and they're going to end after Chatzos, so if we're going to do the Bris Milah after Tfilah, after the Shachris and Musaf, it'll turn out that the Halacha of Zrizim Akdim and Lemitzvah is going to be violated. We know not only is there a mitzvah to do the bris milah on the proper time, bris milah is supposed to be done on the eighth day, preferably, if it can be done, if the baby is well. It's also supposed to be done as early as possible on the eighth day, but not quite as early as possible. You don't have to daven vasikin. It just means you should do it in the earlier part of the day. It's reason makdimin lemitzvahs, as the Gemara Psachim on Daf Dalet says, means that you're supposed to do the mitzvah in the earlier part of the day, which the Levush understands means before Chatzos. So says the Levush, if Zuzim Akdim Lemitzvah tells me he's supposed to do the Bris Milah before Chatzos, but we're going to lengthen the Tefillah so much on Rosh Hashanah that we're going to end after Chatzos. It'll turn out that if we do the Bris Milah after Tefillah, which is the time we normally do it, so then the din of Zuzim Akdim Lemitzvah by the Bris Milah is going to be violated. So therefore, in order to gain the Zuzim Akdim, we do the Bris Milah before Tkiyah Shofar. Again, we're going to do it after Shachris, but before Musaf, so this is the best time to do it between the Kriyas HaTorah and Tkiyah Shofar. That's the best time to do it. The Beshechter once pointed out that according to this reasoning, what should come out is that in a shul which davens early, let's say a person has a bris milah before a hashkama minyan, he davens early. Well, let's say the whole community davens early. I think the minig in the Breuer's community on Bennett Avenue is to daven early Rosh Hashanah. They daven eight, I think. I think it's a very early tefillah. The whole community comes out, if I'm not mistaken. So Rabbi Shachter thought that if the community davens early, they're going to finish before Chatzos, so maybe they should do the Bris Milah after Chatzos. After Musaf. Because it's not going to be after Chatzos. They're davening early, so the tefillah is going to be over early. Most places which start the tefillah at 7:30, 8 o'clock, they'll be finished by 1:30. If it's a yeshiva minyan, they'll be finished a little bit later. But if you start the tefillah at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's not such a drawn out yeshiva davening, they'll be finished before Chatzos. Chatzos is what? Around 1 o'clock or so? They'll be finished before Chatzos. So at first glance, what should emerge is that if the whole reason why we do a bris milah on Rosh Hashanah before Tkiyah Shofar is because of Zvizim Akdim and Lemitzvah, it's not because of Zchar B'Savram HaKeves Yitzchak, so then what should come out is that if we have an earlier tefillah, we daven early, then we should wait until after the tefillah in order to do the bris milah. This is one halacha which is affected by the fact that the tefillah is so long. But the other halacha that comes up is whether one is allowed to eat before davening musaf. Can one eat before tkiyah shofar? What's the halacha? Is a person allowed to make kiddush before tkiyah shofar? In many places, the minig is, especially in different yeshivas, where the davening is a little bit longer, the minig is to make kiddush before tkiyah shofar. Is that mutter? What basis can we give for such a minig to make kiddush before tkiyah shofar? So we have to take a step back. What's the issur to eat before tkiyah shofar? You daven shabbos already. To eat before davening, chas v'sholom. We wouldn't want to eat before davening. To eat a mezonos at least. What's the issur to eat before tkiyah shofar? So that's a mishnah in sukkah. Mishnah in sukkah on daf lamed ches says that if a person hasn't taken a lulav, he should not eat a meal. He comes from he's baba derech. He comes from a long journey. He should take the lulav. We know that a person just has to pick up the lulav. You want to shake it a little bit as well, but take the dalet minim before eating a meal. That's what the Mishnah says. And from that Mishnah, the Rishonim derived the halacha that one is not supposed to eat a meal. One can't engage in any achila, eating a meal, before doing a mitzvah daraisa. So if the mitzvah of netilas lulav on the first day of Yom Tov is a mitzvah daraisa, one should not do achila. The question is, te'ima? Te'ima is not achila. barely tasted something. A little bit of eating. Achila we normally associate with eating a kibetza of mizonos, eating an egg's worth, more than an egg's worth of mizonos. But if it's less than an egg's worth, you're eating a kezias? You're just eating a kezias, or maybe even just a kibetza? That's only te'ima. Is that usser before a mitzvah d'oraisa? So at first glance, there really should be no reason for it to be usser. Why? What's the reason why one is not allowed to eat before doing a mitzvah d'oraisa? The Mefarshim explained, based on the Gemara, that we're afraid you'll become drawn, you'll become nimshach. Shema yimashach achas sudah. So maybe he'll be drawn after his meal, and he'll forget to do the mitzvah. So that's quite relevant if a person is engaging in a su'udah. He's having achila, but if it's only te'ima, just tasting a little bit, a small amount, it's going to be nimshach achar sudasa. The Magen Avraham, in Hilchas Netilas Lulav, says that even though from the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch it seems as though te'ima should be mutter, sama machmer, the Magen Avraham posits that one should be machmer. There are other poskim who say this as well. One should be machmer. Why? Why should one be machmer? Apparently, what the Magen Avraham and these other poskim are assuming is that the reason why one should not eat before performing a mitzvah d'oraisa is not only because you might be drawn after the seuda and you'll come to forget the mitzvah, but because it's a zilzul, it's a disgrace for the mitzvah to engage in eating before performing the mitzvah. You have a choice of doing a mitzvah or eating, and you're going to fress, you're going to eat first. That's a disgrace to the mitzvah. So that might apply even for te'ima. Even for tasting a little bit. It's not a suda, but what are you tasting? What are you having? You're having a little bit, you're drinking a little bit or eating a little bit. Who says that that's mutter? Maybe that's a zilzal of the mitzvah. It's better to do the mitzvah first before you actually taste a little bit. So applying that to our situation, we have a mitzvah of tkiyah shofar. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa, at least on the first day. This year it'll only be d'rabbanan because the first day is Shabbos. But it's a mitzvah nevertheless. So at first glance, you'd say that even if after Shacharis one is allowed to eat, because the halacha that you're not supposed to eat before davening only applies until after Shacharis, but there's a mitzvah of tkiyah shofar before me. So how can I make kiddush then? Obviously, the person wants to make kiddush because he's going to be hungry later. So be hungry. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Who says that you're allowed to make kiddush now? And once you blow shofar, so as we're going to describe next week, we'll deal with the... Hopefully we'll describe the sacred kios, exactly how many kolos, how many sounds of the shofar have to be made. So we know that the shofar, the mitzvah shofar is not finished until after Musaf. So who says we should make kiddush after you start tkiyah shofar? Before tkiyah shofar, you shouldn't be able to recite kiddush, because you shouldn't be able to eat before the mitzvah. After you started already, you should have to finish Musaf so that you can complete the mitzvah shofar as well. So what's the heter to make kiddush in these places in order to eat before tkiyah shofar? So the answer given is that there's a tzorech, there's a special need. You know what the need is? The need is that there's a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah. There's a whole discussion in the Rishonim whether the phrases in davening that we recite on Yom Tov, indicating that Yom Tov is a time of simcha, do we say them on Rosh Hashanah as well? Like Ma'adin L'Simcha, Chagin L'Zmanin L'Sason. Do we say these phrases of Simcha? Is there a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah, just like on the Shalosh Regalim, or not? And the corollary to that is one allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah? Let's say a person feels pangs of tshuva, and he wants to fast on Rosh Hashanah. Is he allowed to do that? If there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah, he should be allowed to fast. If there is no mitzvah of Simcha, then he's allowed to fast. This is a machlokas in the Rishonim. We assume that there is a mitzvah of simcha. We're machmir to assume that there is a mitzvah of simcha. So poskim explain, maybe that's the reason for this minig. Why is there a minig to make kiddush before tkiyah shofar? Because we know the davening is going to be so long and it's going to end after chatzos. And once you go a half day without eating, that's already called a tainis, claim the poskim. You haven't fasted the whole day, but you've gone until chatzos already. That's already a significant tainus. It's a half-day tainus. If you hold, if you maintain that there's a mitzvah of Simcha Rosh Hashanah, it's inappropriate to engage even in a half-day tainus. So because of the tzorah, because of the need to fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha Rosh Hashanah, which means that one is not allowed to fast even a half day tainus on Rosh Hashanah. That's why the Meg developed to make Kiddush before Tkiyah Shofar, so that we won't be engaging even in a half day tainus. That's what some claim. Okay? Of course, what's difficult about this is if you're so concerned about your half day tainus, I have a simple solution for your problem. Drink a little water before davening. Then you won't be fasting. So the whole problem is just the half-day tainus. So why can't I just drink a little water before davening? Strangely enough, the answer to that question seems to be that if you look carefully at the tshuvas that discuss this, the tshuvas all seem to be assuming that they started davening every Rosh Hashanah very early. They used to daven vasikin. So if they daven before daybreak, they weren't going to be eating. They were going to start very early, and there really wasn't going to be time. I guess they could eat at night. But if they started to daven in such a way that they would get to Shemona Esrei at Nesach Chama, but it was after Alos HaShachar, so after Alos HaShachar, maybe they weren't going to be eating. It wasn't going to help them to be eating before Shachar. Moreover, it wasn't going to solve the problem of the half-day tainus. If they're starting to daven so early, again, we suggested that the minig to make Kiddush before Tkiyah Shofar is to enable us to eat a little bit before Chatzos, because the davening is so long, so that we won't be fasting a half-day. But if we start davening so early, then even if we eat at night before we come to shul, but it's before dawn, it's before Netzach Chama, so maybe this halacha of fasting a half day hasn't even begun. The day hasn't begun, so you won't solve any problem. Because even though you ate before the day, it's like eating last night. So we specifically have to eat during the day to solve the problem of the half day tannis. So of course that only applies if they're really starting davening so early. We don't start the davening so early, so we could solve the problem by just drinking a little bit before the davening. So others give another reason. Others claim, balavatish, a very simple reason. They say, no, it's not such a lumdish idea, such a conceptual idea that, well, we want to stop the half-day tunnis dead in its tracks, that we won't be fasting for half a day. No, it's very simple. We could drink a little bit before davening. But if it's really a long davening, by the end of davening, we're going to be really tired. So the tzorach is, in order that we daven appropriately, that we won't be thirsty in the middle of davening, we won't be hungry in the middle of davening, there was this minhag that developed to make kiddush, that we can eat a little bit more. Once we daven shacharis, now there's a requirement to make kiddush. Before shacharis, we could drink a little bit without kiddush. Maybe perhaps we shouldn't eat a mezonos before davening. But once we davened, so then there's an obligation to make Kiddush. So that's why we make Kiddush, not so much to stop ourselves from fasting, so we won't violate this prohibition of fasting on Rosh Hashanah because there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. But rather, in order that we'll be able to daven appropriately, and the concern is even if we drink before davening, we won't have the energy by the end of davening. So for that reason, since that's a tzorach as well, the minhag developed that they make Kiddush in certain places. If the davening is really that long, they'll make Kiddush before Tkiyah Shofar so that they'll be able to daven appropriately for Musaf as well, not just for Shabbos. Okay, stop here.
Also, anyone like the copy of the course?